Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Ryan Repka, driver of the number 14 Reynolds Racing Chassis Late Model. You're listening to Thursday Night Thunder on Speedway Digest Radio Network.
Hello and welcome to the June 4th edition of Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder. I'm your host, Adam Jason Sinclair, and on tonight's program, Michael Mullally and myself will be discussing the Red Bull Global Rallycross season opener in Fort Lauderdale, as well as talking summer safety, the ARCA series, and more. Known as trauma season among public health and medical professionals, summer is a time when serious injuries and unintentional deaths increase dramatically among children. Statistics show that 40% of all injury-related emergency room visits and 42% of all injury-related deaths among children happen between the months of May and August. Fortunately, many of these injuries can be prevented with a few simple precautions. Our first guests this evening are David Reagan and Brian Wisely, both experts on this subject. David Reagan began racing in the Bandolero series at 12 years of age, winning numerous races and repeating as national champion. As soon as he turned 18, David made his first foray into NASCAR. His hard work and preparation paid off, earning two wins in the Nationwide Series and earning a seat in NASCAR's Premier Series on the Sprint Cup circuit. Now a 9-year Sprint Cup veteran, Reagan has two Cup wins under his belt, including a come-from-behind win at Talladega Superspeedway in May of 2013, the first team win ever for Front Row Motorsports. In addition to Reagan's racing achievements, he is a Shriner and loyal supporter of Shriners Hospitals for Children. Since naming the pediatric healthcare system his official charity of choice in 2008, he has used his popularity to increase the awareness and raise funds for the organization. Brendan Wisely is a 14-year-old Shriners Hospital for Children patient, ambassador, and fifth-generation race car driver. At the age of 7, he lost his foot and part of his leg in a lawnmower accident, along with the hope of ever racing again. After receiving custom prosthesis and rehabilitation from Shriners Hospitals for Children, Brendan is now back on the track and partnering with David Reagan to raise support and awareness for the hospital that re-enabled his dreams of racing. Yesterday morning, I was lucky enough to be able to interview both of these professional drivers. And now I'd like to share my interview with you.
Statistics show a large increase in accident-related injuries among children between the months of May and August. Fortunately, many of these injuries can be prevented with a few simple precautions. To kick off National Safety Month and to share tips on how to keep kids on track for a safe summer, we are joined today by NASCAR driver Shriner and Love to the Rescue Ambassador David Reagan, as well as junior racer and Shriners Hospital for Children National Patient Ambassador Brendan Wisely.
Good morning.
David, good morning. How are you doing?
We're doing really good this morning. How about you?
Not too bad. I know you've had a little bit of a season in musical cars this year, starting with Front Row, then filling in for Kyle Busch at JGR, and now at Michael Waltrip. Do you think you'll be racing there for the long haul?
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah, I've really enjoyed working with the Aarons folks and MWR. I'm having a lot of fun, and they've allowed me to come and spend some time with Brendan and talk about a safe summer this morning, so that's a good thing.
Why is it important for you to partner with the Shriners Hospitals for Children?
Well, you know, I am a Shriner, and I've visited a lot of the hospitals over the years. I've met a lot of the patients, their families. I've heard their stories, and now that I have a young daughter at the house, it's important to think about, you know, being safer over the summer months. And as you talked about earlier, the summer months are the most likely opportunity for young kids to be injured or have accidents happen. And so Brendan and I are kind of talking this morning about, you know, playing it safe this summer outside and in different situations, so hopefully you can have an accident-free summer.
What are some of the tips that parents can share with their kids to help prevent injuries this summer?
You know, the biggest thing that parents can do is just educate their kids on some of the accidents that could happen. But the biggest thing, you know, whether your kids are in a park playing, maybe a rec league or even at your own home, on the parks and on the swing sets, sliding feet first, one child at the time, things that are kind of common sense, but a lot of times we just don't pass that along to our kids. If you're around a pool or a lake, Always wear a life jacket when you're near water. Make sure your parents are around watching you. Never play on or around lawnmowers. Brendan's got a good tip for that. And then open fire pits, campfires, grills. Always be careful when there's a heat source or a fire around. Some of those simple tips could certainly save an accident or a trip to the emergency room this summer.
Brendan, how has the Shriners Hospitals for Children had an impact on your life?
Well, when I was 7 years old, I was riding on a lawnmower with my brother, and I fell off the side, and it cut my foot off. And they made a prosthetic for me, and it just went on from there. They helped me so much get through all the hard times. They've made me a leg. I can play football. I can race.
For both of you, what's your favorite thing about the summer?
You go first, Brendan. What's your favorite?
Racing and not having school.
Yeah. You know, I've been out of school for a few years, but I can remember those days when you finally did get out. That was a fun thing. But for me, just the busy months and racing, a lot of great racetracks coming up for us, and the fun that the summer's here and everyone's having a good time and looking forward to the, 4th of July night race in Daytona, Indianapolis. There's some really cool races coming up. So the summer's definitely a fun time for me as well.
And Brendan, who's your favorite race car driver?
I'd have to say Kyle Larson, just because I raced with him and I've known him a lot longer.
And he's about your age. He's not much older than you are.
Yep.
Where can people go to learn more about how they can stay safe on track this summer?
ShrinersHospitalsForChildren.org/safe summer. You can find some great tips on being safe this summer and preventing some accidents from happening, and find out some great information on the Shriners Hospitals for Children's hospital network and all the good stuff that they do.
Well, I'd like to thank you very much for coming on today and wish you lots of luck in the future.
Thank you for having us on.
Thank you very much.
If a child you know could benefit from the expert pediatric care at Shriners Hospital for Children, call 1-800-237-5055 and make an appointment today. Shriners Hospital for Children is changing lives every day through innovative pediatric specialty care, world-class research, and outstanding medical education. Their 22 locations in the United States, Canada, and Mexico provide advanced care for children with orthopedic conditions, burns, spinal cord injuries, and cleft lip and palate. You can learn more at ShrinersHospitalsForChildren.org. Shriners Hospitals for Children is a 501c3 nonprofit organization and relies on the generosity of donors. All donations are tax deductible to the fullest extent permitted by law. We'd like to thank David Reagan and Brendan Wisely for coming on the program. And thank you very much for providing the information about how to have a safe summer. Everybody needs that sort of help now and again. It's easy to forget when you're having lots of fun that it's important to have fun in a safe manner. Speaking of fun, next week this program is going to be taking a day off for a sort of a summer vacation break. But we will be returning on June 18th. Our next guest on that day will be Ray Black Jr. of the NASCAR Camp and World Truck Series. We're also planning to have at least one guest from the Ephrata Speedway in Ephrata, Washington. My co-host Michael Mullally is busily trying to figure out who that one guest will be, and hopefully we'll have a good time talking about sprint cars or stock cars or even some of the demolition derby cars that run out there at the Ephrata Raceway Park. This past weekend, I had the opportunity to head out to the Red Bull Global Rallycross event down in Fort Lauderdale at the BMR Resort. It was quite the race. There was a large number of cars. The way they're organized is in heat races, small heat races with like between 3 and 5 cars per heat. The heats last between 5 and 7 laps. The longest heat race was the final race. That's a 10-lap event featuring 10 cars. They had two different classes there. The GRC Lights, which were a 310-horsepower stock car. They're race-made cars with Olsberg engines in them. The cars are exactly the same. The teams can make some small modifications to suspension and other things, but basically they're all the same car, so it's one of those things where it's not the car, it's the driver, as they said, and that's sort of the point of NASCAR. And that's also why a lot of the NASCAR drivers are thinking about that series. Austin Cindric, who's Tim Cindric's son, Tim Cindric being the director of competition for Penske Racing. He was out there. Austin Cindric is 16 years of age. Also, our guest from last week, Nur Ali of Nur Ali Motorsports, who races for the AF Racing in the GRC Lights. Also, the Brian Herta Autosport had a few racers out there, including Colette Davis, who is going to be a future guest on the program. And it's amazing the amount of new team support they have in that series. There are lots of IndyCar teams who are starting to show an interest there. A few NASCAR teams are starting to show an interest in that sport. For IndyCar fans, if you paid attention when you were down there at the track, you'd notice that Buddy Rice was one of the spotters there for the Dreyer and Reinbold team. Buddy Rice, a former Indy 500 champion, which was rather impressive to see him wandering around the paddock there. And as I've stated before about other series, the Red Bull Global Rallycross is one of those sort of races where you buy the ticket and you go in and you're right in the middle of all the action. You've got every race, every ticket is a pit pass for the race. So you had the full access to all the paddock areas. You were able to get right up close and personal to the teams and the drivers, ask them questions. But a lot of people were just sort of wandering around because they were insanely busy. It is a rather high-paced event. But it was kind of cool to be wandering around through the paddock area and have the people blowing their whistles as the cars are zooming by you. And they were really trying to zoom. They were on their way to the grid there, and they were in a big hurry. And it was kind of neat to get that close to the cars, especially the supercars, the GRC supercars, which are in excess of 600 horsepower. And they are definitely not a stock type car. They are also but they're not quite as, they're all a little bit different. They had Subarus there, they had Volkswagens there, and they had a ton of Ford Fiestas there. They also had, what I noticed, one Hyundai was participating in the event. And it was neat to hear them. They were loud cars. When they started up, they had like a drag racing type transmission, where they spool up the engines and then they slam it into gear and it just goes. It was a six-turn event where they had a really, really short track, less than a mile long, six turns, and the track included a jump, which was rather impressive. It also had the really short course, their first turn where they had it was called the Joker, where they were able to take a little bit shorter line around the track, and then they had the longer traditional course. Every car had to take the Joker at least one time. They couldn't take it more than once. Some of them took it right off the bat. Others of them waited until later in the race. And it appears like the ones that took the Joker early in the race are the ones that ended up doing better. Some of them actually ended up winning by doing that. Nur Ali, who took the Joker lap early in the last chance qualifier, ended up winning that heat. That was just a three-car thing there, but I still think it was pretty impressive for Nur Ali, who's in his first race in the GRC Lights category, to win at least one of the heats. He ended up finishing sixth out of the 10 competitors in the final. And we're going to be talking to him shortly after the Daytona event, which is held in June 20th and 21st at the Daytona International Speedway. So tickets are still available for that, so I'd check out the Red Bull Global Rallycross website if you're interested in hanging out at Daytona. It's definitely a fun event. It's awesome. There's lots of stuff to see. And as I said, every ticket is a pit pass, so you're able to get really close to the cars and close to the drivers. And it's really impressive. Some of the drivers were even considering it to be the future of motorsports, which I think I've mentioned a few times before as well. It seems that the newer motorsport things are trying to be a little bit shorter. A lot of power, a lot more fan access, which is a really good thing. You like to get that to the cars. Rally cars, which could be the future, but you can't really get that close to the FIA Formula E cars, which their segment on the future several times is Drive the Future. But I think some of the FIA Formula E guys, who were also some of the same drivers, coincidentally, who were driving in the Red Bull Global Rallycross, some of them still have the Formula One blitz about them. But people like Scott Speed, who's a competitor in the Red Bull Global Rallycross as well as the FIA Formula E, he's kind of an interesting character. He's also competed in NASCAR, and he competed. He finished in third place in the GRC Supercar race. The winner, of course, was Ken Block. I did an article about that. Second place was Nelson Piquet, or third place was Nelson Piquet Jr., second place was Scott Speed, first place was Ken Block in the GRC Supercar race. And it was pretty impressive as well. It was a lot different than any sort of racing I'd ever been before. The jump was impressive. The fact they had a section of racetrack that was actually covered entirely in beach sand. So they were riding right on the, right adjacent to Fort Lauderdale Beach. So I think they wanted to incorporate a little bit of the beach into the track, and they had the whole section covered in sand. It was actually pretty cool to see the cars zoom around there. It threw up a huge cloud of dust. That was something you really have to see. And as I said, if you're interested, they still have tickets available for the Red Bull Global Rallycross event in Daytona National Speedway. So go to Red Bull Global Rallycross and check it out. Our next guest on the program is ARCA competitor and friend of the program, Josh White Lightning White. White is acknowledged as one of the most exciting up-and-comers in the ARCA racing series. He earned the nickname White Lightning due to his speed on track, as well as his determination and endless drive to succeed. Josh began racing at a very young age in anything that would go fast. He quickly got up to speed, and in 2007, he joined the IHRA Street Modified Tour, getting four wins at Kanawha Valley Motorsports Park. In 2009, Josh stepped up the class to IHRA Modified, securing five wins at Kanawha Valley Motorsports Park. In 2010, Josh enlisted in the United States Marine Corps Reserve, where he underwent training, testing his limits both mentally and physically. He also continued his racing career. After racing and competing against the best drivers in his class, Josh began exploring other opportunities to compete at a higher level, and to keep him challenged. In 2011, Josh set his sight on stock car racing and moved into the IMCA Great Elite Models, earning five top fives and one win at I-77 Raceway. In 2012, Josh made a big jump to the ARCA Series, where he began testing with multiple teams to prepare for his future. Josh's official rookie season started in the ARCA Series at Toledo Speedway, where he gained a 13th place finish, experiencing engine and communication issues during the race event. This year, Josh has been fortunate to compete in several races in the ARCA Series, driving in the number 3 machine. Josh's aggressive, bonsai, on-the-edge driving style has made him a crowd favorite, and has also made him a bit of a media darling, appearing on numerous radio programs and in the press. He's had quite the career lately. He's been doing pretty well. He is has had a little bit of a start and park thing going. I'm going to question him about that a little bit during the interview. So it should be kind of interesting to talk to him again. He's quite the character. And I believe he's in Pocono this weekend. where they've been having some discussion about the security, the heavier security that's now at the Pocono Raceway for whatever reason. It was quite an event there in Fort Lauderdale, as I stated. It was a little warm, though. I suppose all racing in the state of Florida is a little hot, but this is the beginning of June. The race was held on the 31st of May, and it was in the low to mid-90s there. And it didn't really help that one of the only drinks that was for sale there was Red Bull. They did have Red Bull and water, and I myself had like four waters when I was there, and one Red Bull. There were lots of people with only Red Bull, and there were even more people who had the Red Bull cocktails when they were there. And that's all good, and they were having a good time and all that, but it definitely warms you up, and the cocktails are not the most refreshing thing in the universe. Although they might seem so at the time, they're not the sort of thing that quenches your thirst. But it's the same sort of thing at NASCAR events and that sort of thing. We've got got all the people who get up really early in the morning and drink all the beers they want, and that's the end of their day, is drinking until they almost pass out. And that's not the best way to go about watching racing, although it might make the racing more interesting at times, especially some of the long races, where it just seems like they're following the leader over and over and over again. This weekend, one of the big racing things will also be the IndyCar event, where the IndyCar is returning to Texas Motor Speedway. They will be going quite a bit slower than they have in the past there at the Speedway, and that'll be something to see as well. I don't know if the speed will diminish the action at all. I know they've had some problems with overspeed there at the Texas Motor Speedway. That is where the kart series actually refused to race at one point. And it was quite the entertaining thing there at the Texas Motor Speedway in the past. It'll also be interesting to see that the IndyCar is competing alongside the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series at Texas, which is where our next guest, Ray Black Jr., will be on the program next week. In 2 weeks, is competing. Ray Black Jr. is a local driver in the sense that he does live and work in the state of Florida. He has a diving business. It's a thriving diving business, and it's a little bit. There's a lot of underwater welding that goes on in the state on all sorts of things, boats and oil rigs and that sort of stuff. And that'll be something to talk to him briefly about. There are a lot of drivers in the NASCAR Camper World Truck Series, who have their own small businesses, whether it be the construction trade or some of the people who are involved in farming and that sort of stuff. So it should be quite interesting to talk to him. We should be having our next guest, Mr. Josh White, calling in momentarily. As I stated, he's currently at Pocono. And he's currently looking for the best way to contact the program. So it should be good to talk to him again. I know he's trying to gain some sponsorship money, and he has some small-scale sponsorship ideas that he wants to try and discuss a little bit this evening. As we've talked briefly in the past, those GoFundMe.com accounts are becoming more prevalent in the garage area there. There's even more micro sponsorships where you can donate like $25 to people like Garrett Merchant and others, and they'll put your name on the card. I believe that's the same sort of thing that Josh White wants to discuss this evening. Good evening, and thanks for coming on the program again.
Thank you. It's good to be here again.
I know you've become almost a weekly competitor in the ARCA Tour this year. How's it feel to finally be racing on a regular basis?
Well, it feels great. I mean, the struggle that I'm going through to do this is kind of harsh, a lot of mixed emotions, but, I mean, I'm really happy to be doing what we're doing. I mean, I could be home moaning and groaning and, you know, being upset because I'm not doing anything, or I could be here doing something. I mean, I'm not really doing, you know, everything I want to do. I don't have the equipment that I really want and need to be where I want to be, but I'm having a blast. I mean, I can't really express that enough. I mean, when I go inside that racetrack tomorrow, I mean, I'm a whole different person.
I know your car basically fits into the start and park terminology there. How do you feel about them, and how would you make it easier for teams to compete for a full race in the ARCA series?
How would I make it easier?
Yeah, what would you do if you were in charge of that? How would you try and make it easier to have teams compete for a full race?
Well, be honest with you, I really wouldn't do it any different than the way we're doing it now. It's a team effort. You know, the team and me, you know, all of us, we're looking for sponsors. I mean, it's not easy. If it was easy, everybody would be out here doing what I'm doing. But, I mean, we do have a couple small-time sponsors that's come to the table. And it's how we're able to even do the starting parts and some of the races that we do partials. You know, it's a tough road. I can't really give you a full-blown answer to that. I mean, it's just, you kind of got to take it step by step, and if something sets you back, well, you got to keep pushing. I mean, it's not easy.
I know you mentioned the small-scale sponsors. You mentioned before that you're starting a small-scale sponsorship campaign for your team. Can you elaborate a little bit more on that?
Yeah. I have a few options for businesses, of course. We got the sponsorship stuff going on for them. And, you know, if they're interested, you know, all they have to do is message me, or, you know, if I ever get in touch with them, you know, there you go. But we also have a little decent program that's been going on. This is my sixth race now that we've been doing it. And every race, I mean, God bless them. You know, I've had some fans donate to me. And in exchange, I put their name on the car. And I post on Facebook or the social media that I have the pictures of their names onto the car, and then I'll take a picture of the whole entire car, so that way they know where they're at. And it just, they kind of, you know, it kind of makes them feel like they're a piece of the action too, because they really do help me get here, and I really can't thank them enough. I mean, what little somebody might do, you know, $20 here or $10 or $50, $100. It helps me out a lot. I mean, we barely made it to Pocono. I've had a couple fans that donated, Jay Adams and Leo Moss. They donated to me this time around, and we made it by the skin of our teeth. And if it wasn't for them, we'd be out of gas up on the side of the road somewhere. So, I mean, it really is a fan-driven team right now. And, you know, the small sponsors we do have, we're just clearing enough to bring the car to the racetrack and do what we're doing. I mean, right now, and until we get some sponsors in, you know, I want to keep this current course because, you know, I like what I'm doing. I mean, if I can get some sponsorship to come along, I'd like to go out there and start winning some races because it's really disheartening to bring it in the middle of the race. But, I mean, it is what it is. I'm having fun, and well, there you go. Hopefully, if anybody that's listening is interested in donating and getting their name on the car, all they got to do is message me on my Facebook fan page or even send me a tweet. I got a Twitter I just got up this week. My new Twitter handle is @3JoshWhite. So I hope to see you guys there.
Which drivers do you think have the have what it takes to win the championship in the ARCA Series this year?
Well, it's anybody's ball game. I mean, we're in the middle of the season. I mean, if I let's say I got a big sponsor tonight or tomorrow, I mean, there's a good chance that I'll finish the year top 15, top 10 in points, depending on, you know, how much sponsorship I got to bring to the table, because this stuff's really expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not easy to do what I do, but in the long run, I think that Austin Wayne Self has a pretty good chance at winning the championship, or, you know, placing pretty good. Grant Enfiger has been really strong. He finished the first three races of the year, so I think it's going to be between them two. It's like I said, it's in the middle of the season, so it's kind of hard to tell, but that's my two picks for the year.
And what's the favorite racetrack that you've competed on so far in the ARCA Series?
What's the best or the biggest? I'm sorry.
Which one's your favorite that you've competed on so far in the series this year?
Salem. It'd be between Salem and New Jersey. When we went to New Jersey, it was my first time I was ever on a road course, ever, in my entire life. And so I really didn't know what to expect. I mean, you know, like you play on iRacing or ARCA Sim Racing, you know, you get a good look at the track. But, I mean, nothing compares to what it's like actually getting behind the wheel of these stock cars. I mean, it's just a completely different world. So I didn't know what to expect when I went to New Jersey, and I had a blast, man. I mean, I really liked the track. You know, the people was really cool. Salem was really nice, and I almost failed to mention my girlfriend spotted for me at New Jersey, so I got her feet wet too. That was kind of cool as well. But Salem, it was really fun too. It was a half mile, really fast, and it was really half banked. Yeah, just for the half mile it was, it really carried a lot of speed, and it was racing. That's what it was. It was racing. I mean, you didn't have none of the stuff like Daytona and Talladega. Well, what if I can catch the air off of this car back? It was downright, okay, I'm going fast. I'm going to slow down in the corner really quick, and I'm right back on the throttle. It's done. Like, I'm crossing the finish line like every 16 seconds type of thing. I felt like I was on Bristol, and, you know, I want to go back. The people there was nice, too. I met a lot of fans at the campgrounds, and they had a lot of hospitality, and a few of them actually donated to me. I put them on the car at Salem,
And because of them, we were able to make it to Talladega the next week. So, I mean, I'm looking forward to Salem in September. I'm trying to get me a full deal together for that one because I really enjoyed it.
I'd now like to throw it out to my co-host, Michael Mullally in Ephrata, Washington, who has a couple of questions for you as well.
All right.
In your opinion, what, you obviously probably don't want to say that ARCA is better than, like, the Sprint Cup series, but in your opinion, what is, like, some of
Are you asking, in my opinion, do I think that ARCA is in some ways better than Cup?
Yes.
Okay. In some ways, yes. But I this is my opinion. Everybody has those, but my opinion is that it is. Better than Cup in some ways. In some ways, it's not. In a driver standpoint, it's not, because it's hard to market and it's hard to get sponsors for. And that kind of puts you in a hard place, because ARCA is what you have to go through to get to the next level. I mean, they're the only series that races these big tracks NASCAR does. And you have to compete at those events in order to get approved through NASCAR to go, up to the NASCAR trucks or up to NASCAR Xfinity and then on the Cup. And where it would be, easier to get sponsorship there. Well, not necessarily easier, but everybody knows what NASCAR is. But not everybody knows what ARCA is. And that's kind of the problem we're having here. I mean, the investment's good. Sponsorship's great. The sponsors are always satisfied because they get their return on investment on it. But it's hard to nail on down. It's hard to close the deals. ARCA, in my opinion, does need to stop trying to follow NASCAR in terms of rules and what they're doing with their cars. But I'm happy with where we're at. I mean, it's really competitive. I mean, if you go to a NASCAR race, you're going to be sitting watching a four-hour race, and it's the same guy going around the track for 50 laps. Well, here, 50 laps is, that's three-quarters of the race. There's going to be people that's impatient. There's going to be people that's going to be rubbing some quarter panels. I mean, it's racing here, and it's competitive because we have a lot shorter races. And from a fan standpoint, that's what the fans want. And that's what NASCAR needs to do. It needs to get back to racing. Because that's what's going to bring more fans to the stands. That's what's going to sell out the tickets. And that's what's going to bring more sponsors to the table. But, then again, that's my opinion.
What make the ARCA cars, so much more different than, I don't think it's the nationwide cars anymore. I don't remember what they're called, but, the nationwide cars or, the trucks. I mean, obviously they're trucks, but, in terms of, motor and stuff, what makes them so different?
Not much. I mean, you've seen where ARCA come out with the new 396. They switched over to electronic fuel injection on that, where they come out with the new Gen 6 bodies, but, I mean, you can only use them at select tracks. But, it's not really that much different. I mean, you go up to some of these higher-tier series like Xfinity or NASCAR Sprint Cup, I mean, obviously you're going to have motors that will financially put ours to shame, one, and two, they're cranking out 900 horses. We're depending on the car, between 800 and 870. I'm around, I'd say about 800. I'm I still have the old SV2 with carbureted, with the carburetor on it. So, I mean, it's not really different. I mean, a lot of these cars in ARCA now was actually former NASCAR Nationwide cars back then. Or, you know, only things that would be different would be, down to the specifics in the rule book. I mean, ARCA approves 105-inch and 110-inch chassis. Well, I could pretty much take the ARCA stickers off my car, put K&N stickers on it, and go racing a NASCAR K&N next week if I wanted.
What has been your favorite race this season?
Salem. I like Salem. The people there are awesome. The fans are great. And it's a really fun, fast track. I can't wait to go back in September. I'm hoping I have a full deal there so I could actually do the full race. And hopefully I don't go that far to where I can only be able to do one full race this year. I'm hoping I get a sponsor so I could actually afford to get some good equipment and get out here and start winning some races, because that's what I want. You know, I definitely want some good statistics. I want to show everybody what I can do. And most of all, I want to have fun. I don't want to go out here and pull it in at the beginning of the race or in the middle of it even. You know, that part's disheartening. But, I mean, I'm having fun with what I'm doing. I love it. I'm having a blast. I'm doing things that I've never done before, and it's definitely a step in the right direction. But, I mean, you always got to keep setting your goals a little bit higher and trying to do something better or go one step further.
How do you feel about the season so far? Like, has it been pretty good for you or stressful?
It's been good. It's been a lot of fun, but it's also been kind of stressful at times. I mean, trying to get home or trying to get to the racetrack and trying to figure out all the logistics of it. But I mean, I'm having a blast. You know, like I said, you know, I'm doing things now that I've never done before. And I mean, I'm hoping that I'm, you know, even though I'm doing starting parks and some partial races, I'm hoping that I'm getting looked at, because I'm really doing my best. I mean, the car that I'm running, every time I go to the racetrack, I'm running on tires that's already been raced on. I'm running sometimes, I don't even have the right suspension set up for these races. And I don't have one of these high-dollar expensive motors that the big teams are running, you know, the new 396. I don't have that. And so I've had my car in a lot of places that was kind of squirrely, and I pulled it out of it, and I've kept the car in one piece every race. So, you know, high hopes and empty pockets, as I say. You know, it definitely rings true, and hopefully we get it on the right track soon. Until then, I'm going to have some fun.
What has been the toughest part about this season so far for you?
The toughest part was just, well, I don't really know. There's been a lot of tough times this year. My grandmother died in May, and I had to miss her funeral to be at Talladega. That was kind of tough. It was kind of a catch-22 for me, because, you know, I had to miss her funeral to be at the racetrack, and I really wanted to be at the racetrack, and I knew that's what she wanted me to do, but at the same time, I really hated to miss her funeral. And I've had some a couple obligations at home that I had to miss out on to be at a couple races, but, you know, I mean, other than that, and, you know, everything financial, you know, everything that I needed to get to get to this point, to get to the racetrack, get back home. You know, and other than that, that's it. That's the hardest time I've had this year. I mean, it's kind of been a smooth sail. Other than that, we haven't had any hard times other than that, and I don't plan on it. Knock on wood.
How do you feel the composite chassis that they've already started rolling out in small parts and they're planning on rolling out full time in the next couple of years will change the ARCA series?
Well, they look fantastic. I mean, but I don't understand, like, and that's just another expense. You know, why make something mandatory? You know, you should make it optional. I mean, at least for the time being, for at least for a little while. I mean, you can't make it optional for a couple of years and expect everybody to go over the same thing. I mean, obviously they're going to do it, but I mean, it just makes things harder on everybody else. I mean, the bodies that you're referring to, the new Gen 6 bodies, just that body costs $10,000. And that's not counting taxes. And then that's not counting the stuff that you would need to mount it onto the chassis. You'll spend $15,000 a body, easy. That's not counting paint. And I'm assuming if you're going to spend that much on it, you're going to go ahead and wrap it in something really nice. I mean, at least I would. But I don't know, man. Me personally, I'd like to see somebody raise these things up a couple more inches. I'd like to see NASCAR do away with their front splitters. I'd like to see them stop worrying about aerodynamics. I wanna get racing.
And do you think that are you able to compete with the cars with the new engine package they've got in them, or is that making it more difficult for teams like yours as well?
It makes it extremely difficult. These guys, I mean, like I said, you know, I'm going to stress on this a little bit. They're cranking out 870 horsepower. I'm cranking out 800, and my SB2 is pretty close to brand new. My team owner got it last year. So, I mean, he only had it ran about 100 miles on it before I got a hold of it. And I did a practice and a couple laps at New Jersey with it, and that was it. Now, watch me tomorrow. I personally challenge everybody to watch me tomorrow. Watch me and watch these big funded teams during practice. And that'll give you your answer. I cannot compete with these guys with 396. Not at a track like Pocono. I can be at a short track like Salem or something, and if I was to do a full race, if I had some decent tires and I had a good suspension set up and everything, I could drive a top 15. I could compete with some of the top funded teams. But when it comes to anything bigger than a half mile, they just blow me completely out of the water. It's not that I can't do it. If I had the same engine package, you know, I would be able to do it. I'd be able to keep up with them, or hopefully pass them up. I mean, that's what we all hope for. But, I mean, the new 396, it's not like I can go out here and buy one and have, you know, my team owner work on it or work on it myself or get an engine builder. Every 396 is the same 396 in ARCA. There's only one engine builder company. There's only a group of people that you can go to and have them work on it. You can't work on it yourself. You can't take it home and work on it. Ilmor at ARCA has to work on it. That's the only people that could work on it. The 396 in ARCA only comes through Ilmor. And so, I mean, if we have a 396, We have a 396. We'll be able to compete with these guys. But, I mean, I honestly don't have the amount of money that it would take to get one of those into my car.
Mm-hmm. And if people wanted to contribute to you, how would they go about doing that again?
Well, as far as if any businesses out there are interested, all they have to do is email me at joshwhite@joshwhiteracingllc.com, or they can get through my social media and message me. Or if a fan out there is interested in doing our fan donation program we're running this year, all they got to do is message me on Facebook or send me a tweet on Twitter, you know, @3joshwhite, and you know, I'll get you guys set up. I mean, all it takes is a donation. I'm not asking for $1 million. I mean, if you guys donate $5, even, I mean, it doesn't matter what it is. You're helping the team. I mean, every little bit counts. You know, we'll put you on a car. We'll put the picture of you on the car on the social media, and take another picture of the car so that way you know where you're at. There you go, and you know, it really helps us out. I mean, I can't stress that enough. It every little bit counts, and it helps us get on down the road, and it helps us do these things. I'm definitely going to need you guys in the future. I'm not going to be home until July. I got a race every weekend, and it's going to be tough. I can't go home and work, because by the time I go home and work a couple of days, I'll have to go back out and go to the racetrack. If you're driving 400 or 500 miles, you can't get it done. I mean, at home, my economy is pretty far down. I mean, I have my own lawn care business. And I work on cars, and every now and then I get a phone call. People want me to remove junk from their yard, and I'll go metal and stuff at the scrapyard and whatnot, but I'm just a hard-working individual chasing my dream. I wish I had a lot of money, but I don't, and I'm asking for help.
Well, wish you the best of luck at Pocono this weekend, and have a great summer, and hopefully you get lots more sponsorship in the running for at least the top 15 finish in the ARCA Series this year. That would be awesome.
Yeah, it would, man, and I tell you what, I'm looking forward to tomorrow, man. I've never been on the Turkey Triangle. I mean, this is going to be awesome. I can't wait to get that thing in fourth gear and hopefully peg out going down along these straightaways. So thanks for having me on the show, and I hope to hear from you guys again sometime this year, and hopefully we'll have an interview where I could officially say I finished the race and hopefully the top 10 by then.
There you go. Well, thanks again. Talk to you later.
All right. Thank you.
Once again, that was Josh White, driver of the number 3 in the ARCA series, and he's looking for all the help he can get. So if you have a few extra dollars saved up somewhere, please take a moment to check out his page on Facebook. It's Josh White Racing. You can also check him out on Twitter, as you stated, at 3JoshWhite. So when's your next race scheduled for? This weekend, right?
No, it's actually not this weekend. Because they're taking, well, usually they take the weekend off for graduation, but it's actually next weekend. Actually, no, I lied. It's not next weekend. It's actually the weekend after that, so we got about 3 weeks.
Oh, is your car all set and ready to go? No more overheating problems?
No, actually, we don't even know where to begin about the heating problem, but we're building a whole new motor, and my dad wants to have it finished and in the car for the next race, or he said we're not going, which we will anyway, but, you know.
Well, best of luck to you. Hopefully you get it figured out.
Well, thank you.
No problem. Once again, we'd like to thank David Reagan, Josh White, and Brendan Wisely for coming on the program this evening. Be sure to check out past episodes of Thursday Night Thunder, as well as the other shows on the Speedway Digest Radio Network at speedwaydigestradionetwork.com. You can also check out the show on Facebook by searching for Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder in the search bar. I also invite you to read the articles covering all aspects of motorsports at speedwaydigest.com. As I stated earlier, I did some reviews about the past weekend's event at the Red Bull Global Rallycross in Fort Lauderdale, and that's a pretty good read, and hope you take advantage and read that.
Thank you for listening, and we look forward to seeing you again in 2 weeks in the Thunderdome when we will once again tackle the major issues in the world of motorsports. And we'll welcome NASCAR Camping World Truck Series competitor Ray Black Jr. as he pursues his racing dream.
Thank you very much, and we'll talk to you in 2 weeks.